As we go into the series, we're going to, if Darren shares the first slide, we're doing a series called The Good Life. And it might be a bit of a strange topic to call a series, particularly in this time when actually life has not been that good. But I wonder for you, what would the good life be? What would a good life look like for you today? Would it mean that you would have you wouldn't have to worry about your mortgage? Would it mean that you could retire and go on holiday? Maybe it's having a successful family that are just continually to going places. And maybe when you think of the good life, like me, you think of that TV show, The Good Life, which was on earlier on, probably before some of our times. And it's where this couple, they decided to become self-sufficient. And they tried to escape the commercial world, and they started to try and make sure that they could live off the land. So they were keeping vegetables and animals so they could actually continue to live self-sufficient. Maybe that's what the good life is for you. You know, the dictionary definition of a good life is, if you say that someone is living the good life, you mean that they are living in a comfortable and they are living in comfort and luxury with few problems and worries. I wonder if that's really what the good life really is. Is it about living in comfort and luxury, or is it so much more? You know, when we look at 1 Peter, I'm starting this first one, when we look at it, we see that he gives us an idea of what truly is a good life. In spite of troubles, in spite of hardships, that we can have a good, godly life lived out for his call and for his purpose and for him alone. In 1 Peter 2, verse 3, it says, "You have tasted that the Lord is good." God is the only good thing, the only pure and wonderfully good in the whole world, in the whole universe. There is no one good beside him. And so actually the good life is God alone. Sorry, Dan, we don't need that right now. Thank you. And so, yeah, when we first look at this text, we come in and we're going to look at this text in some detail. But, you know, there's a story of one Saturday morning. Just before Christmas in 1928, there was a U.S. submarine just going out for some routine dives and some routine routine dives and maintenance. And they were diving, and as they came back up to submerge, when they came up, another boat was going very fast, and they collided. And so this submarine got absolutely smashed up by this boat. And obviously, water started pouring in, and they just started to sink down to the ground. They sank down to depths of over 100 feet of water, and all 38 crew members were trapped in this submarine. And so ships tried to help out. Many ships were coming to try and see if they could help, but obviously it was a bit stormy, and they couldn't think about a rescue plan just at that point. But they sent down a diver to try and communicate to see if the people inside the submarine were okay. And so as they sent down someone, the guy started to tap Morse code onto the wall of the submarine. And he started asking questions, how many are alive, or how are you all doing? And they started to Morse code back. And then he asked a question, how much oxygen do you think you have? How long do you have left? And the guys inside and tapped on the wall with Morse code, 2 days left of oxygen. And as they continued to tap Morse code to each other, there was a very last words that were said by those in the ship. And they tapped this. They said, "Is there any hope?" In a submarine which is being filled with water, when there's storms around and it doesn't seem like anyone can come to your rescue, I'm sure that was a very fitting thing to ask. Is there any hope? And I believe that many of us are asking that today. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for my family who have walked away from Jesus and have chosen a different life? Is there any hope for my marriage? Is there any hope for my finances coming out of COVID-19? Is there any hope as I come to pick up my life after all that's been going on? Is there any hope for my sickness? Is there any hope for my future? Today we are looking at a life of hope. And I want to give a bit of context to this, because actually the whole of Peter is an amazing book. And we can see that when Peter addresses us in verse 1 and 2, it's actually Peter himself, the apostle, who is the disciple of Jesus. And Peter is actually mentioned more in the Gospels than any other character than Jesus. He speaks more in the Gospels than anyone else, and is actually addressed more personally by Jesus than any other individual in the whole Bible. And as Peter is writing this, he is writing it to encourage the people, the early people in Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey today. And he's writing to encourage them that actually, despite all the challenges and trials that they may be facing, because they were going through persecution, they were being crushed on every side. I mean, their neighbors and the authorities were coming against them and trying to pull them away from God and from their devout relationship with him. But Paul is the apostle of hope, just like Peter is the apostle of hope, just like Paul was the apostle of faith and John was the apostle of love. Peter is all about hope. He was all about bringing hope to those who needed it. So what is a life of hope then? How can we live a good life, and how can we live it with hope? You know, our hope is more than just "I hope so," or more than just wishful thinking. You know, often you think, I hope everything's going to be okay. It's almost like a throwaway comment. But actually, there's no guarantee in that. There's no guarantee in that wishful thinking. But we see in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." How amazing is that, that we've been given a new birth into a living hope. Jesus Christ is our living hope. He's not dead. He was buried, but he rose again. And by his great mercy, God's great mercy for each and every one of us, we can have a living hope which isn't dead, but is truly alive. How do we know it's truly alive? Well, first of all, we can have confidence that our hope is alive and well because it is alive and it is grounded in the living Word of God. And then we can know that actually it is founded and it is established on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is our firm foundation, and he is a living Savior. Not like any other face, that their gods are not alive, but Jesus is alive and well today. And he wants us to hold on to hope. No matter what is going on in our lives, we can have a confidence in our living hope, Jesus Christ. You know, we sing about it, and we're actually going to sing about it as a response, the song Living Hope. And I love the chorus. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been born into a new life, into a resurrection life, where we have been given all power and authority by the Lord God Almighty. And we have a living hope. And I love when it says in 1 John 4 verse 4, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Whatever we face, whatever we're going through, we can stand firm on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, that he is greater than anyone else and anything else we may face. And so our hope is always present and it's always alive. And you know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 6 verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor. It keeps us grounded in the storms of life, in when everything around us seems to be moving and shaking and falling apart. Our anchor, our hope in Jesus Christ can keep us firmly, firmly grounded and firmly safe through any storm. Whatever you're going through, I pray that actually after today, you would realize that Jesus Christ is your anchor. He is your living hope. And he is your firm foundation. But let's have a look more at the text then. And I want to go to our first point. Darren, it's the first one is hope holds on to a priceless inheritance. When we're living our lives, we can live it according to the inheritance that is before us. Not only do we have a living hope, which is alive now, but it's also a future hope. And it says in verse 3, all praise to God, for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live in great expectation. Hallelujah. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. I love that. I love this version. I love the way in which the NLT describes it. Because we have a living hope which is so priceless. Our inheritance in heaven, you cannot put any value or price to it. No one can evaluate our future glory with God. When we die and we leave this earth that we're in, and we're going to be in heaven for eternity with Jesus, it's impossible to put a value on that. You know, sometimes we put value on a lot of monetary things. And I Googled the five richest people in the world. And their net worth was scary amount of money. I'm talking like, yeah, it's scary amount of money. The first one, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, he has a net worth of $166.9 billion. My Lord. Bill Gates is the, obviously, Microsoft. He has a net worth of $99.9 billion. And if you add up all five of the top richest people in the world, all their net worth, you would get a total of $491.3 billion. Astronomical amounts of money. But you know what? No matter how much you have, no matter if you combine the top 100 people, the top 1,000 people, you will never compare to the true value that we have in eternity. We cannot put any value on our future inheritance. Our inheritance that was given to us freely when we accepted Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus himself said, I will go ahead and prepare a way for you. And so no one can understand or begin to fathom what eternity is going to be like. You know, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it talks about more wisdom, but the truth of it is what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. We cannot begin to comprehend. No mind can begin to see, can be on to begin to think just how vast and how wonderful our heavenly inheritance is going to be. You know, Peter himself doesn't even begin to try to describe the inheritance that we receive in heaven. But one thing, a few things he does say. Firstly, he says that actually our inheritance is not only priceless, but it is kept in heaven. It can never be taken away. It can never be removed from us, because actually Jesus is keeping our heaven, our inheritance in heaven, so that one day when we go and meet him, we shall receive the glory of our inheritance. It is also pure and undefiled, as it says in the NLT. It's so pure, it's so holy, it's spotless and it's stainless, and there's nothing that can defile it. You know, if you think about the prodigal son, when he got his inheritance He asked early for his inheritance from his father. And he went away and he spent his inheritance on worldly things. And it says in verse 13 of Luke 15, it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living after he had spent everything. You know, an earthly inheritance is so easily to waste away. It's so easily to just waste and to not be very diligent with what we've been given. But our heavenly inheritance is pure and undefiled. It can't be spoiled. And then also it says that our earthly inheritance is beyond the reach of change or decay. Some versions say that it's imperishable or it's unfading. There's nothing that can destroy the inheritance that we will receive one day in heaven. You know, Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven in Matthew 6. And he talks about where moths and vermin cannot destroy and where thieves cannot steal. And that is the hope that we have, is that our living hope today is that we are living in a hope today, but we are also living in a future hope, a future glory, a future inheritance that will never perish, which will never fade, which will never be taken away, and will be pure and perfect when we finally get to be with Jesus in eternity. Earthly inheritances may fade. You may want to hand on your inheritance to your children, but it will, in time, it will fade. But we can stand confident to know that our heavenly inheritance shall never fade. And so we can have a hope that holds on to a priceless inheritance. It can keep us grounded and it keep us focused on what's ahead and keep our eyes off what is going on right now. But secondly, we can see that hope sustains through trials. In verse 6, it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Not only do we have a living hope, and not only do we have a hope which is helping us to hold on to the priceless inheritance, but our hope sustains us through the various trials and challenges that we face. You know, I don't know what you're facing today. We prayed earlier and we stopped because I believe there are people that are going through some real battles right now. And I believe that actually the only thing that could probably pull you through or will pull you through is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You might be going through redundancy. You might be feeling like you are just inadequate, or you might be feeling like actually you're feeling lonely and depressed. Or maybe you're feeling like sickness is coming and crushing you on every side. I don't know what you're feeling right now, but we know that these trials, they are only momentary. They are only for a time. He says it himself when he says, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. They are not going to last for eternity, but they are just earthly trials that last for but a moment. Our earthly trials are short in light of eternity. You know, this week I was going through Romans 8 as part of our devotional. And there's an amazing verse in Romans 8:18 when it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through today, whatever trials you're facing, you can rest assured that it is nothing compared to the glory that you will receive in heaven. And I love Peter in this text when he is talking about very much an illustration of a goldsmith. And if you read it from the message, it says, pure gold put in fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. I don't know if you know, but when a goldsmith is trying to get the best quality gold that he can get, he doesn't want to waste any of it. But he puts it into a fire so hot, a furnace that is so hot, that when he puts it in, he waits until all the impurities have been burnt off. And it is said that Eastern goldsmiths, they actually will keep it in there so long until they can see their face in the gold itself. And when they can see their face in the gold, they know that it's pure as it can be. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. When we're in the fire, when we feel like everything is coming against us, it's actually sometimes for our good, and it's burning off the things in our lives so that we can be like Jesus Christ and we can reflect his glory to those around us. You know, it's not easy going through trials and challenges. And it's not easy to try and see that actually going through the fire is definitely not a comfortable experience. You know, I don't know if you know, but I've just heard that after 4 years, my court case is still going on. If you didn't know, when I was in Burundi, I ended up in court for a really ridiculous reason. And it just seems so unjust and so unfair. And, you know, I remember one week where I just completely gave up. And I said, God, I am tired of this court case. I'm tired of this trial. It's so unfair. It's so unjust. Where is the justice? Where is your mercy? And I just love that my wife is a woman of faith. And one of our friends pointed me and reminded me to the parable of the persistent widow who continued to pester, who continued to speak to the judge so that she may receive a just result. And, you know, sometimes when we're about to give up, sometimes when all hope is lost and we feel like this is the end, and just like those in the submarine, we just want to tap, is there any hope? It's in those moments that God is refining us. God is proving our faith, and God is sustaining us with his hope. In those moments where I wanted to give up, and even now sometimes I want to give up on my court case, when I feel like it's just unfair, it's in those moments that I know that God is refining me just as he refines the purest gold. He's making me who he wants me to be. We don't know why God allows earthly challenges and struggles sometimes. We don't always understand why he does it or why he allows them. But one day, if we hold on to our priceless inheritance, if we have a hope which sustains us through trials and circumstances of life, we can boldly come before God when we get to heaven. And I long for that day when God will look at me, or Jesus will look at me, and he'll say, as he said in Matthew 25, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. Hallelujah. So now I will give you responsibility for more. How I long for that day when God says to me, well done, good and faithful servant. But it doesn't come easy. It comes through the hard times of life. It comes through the trials. It comes through the pain. And it comes through the hurt. But we hold on to a hope of a priceless inheritance. We have a hope that sustains us through trials. And lastly, we have a hope which produces inexpressible joy. I love it. A hope which produces inexpressible joy. Darren, you can show the last one. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice in a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I love it. I don't know what you're going through. But even when we trust him, when we don't see him at work, but we still hold on to hope, we can know that actually God will somehow bring an inexpressible joy. There are times when I know that there has been a peace in my life which I can't understand, or a joy in my life, and that's because of the hope of a living God who keeps us firm through the trials and helps us to rejoice in all our circumstances. I wonder today, are you a person of inexpressible joy? I love that phrase. When people encounter us, do they encounter someone who is overflowing with joy because of their hope in Jesus and their hope in a future glory? Or do they encounter someone who is downcast or who is heavy-hearted? Peter is encouraging us that in spite of our trials, in spite of our challenges, that we can have an inexpressible joy which overflows from a living hope of Jesus Christ. You know, those on board of the S4 submarine, when it went and it sunk into the water, unfortunately, none of them survived. But as they were making contact with these people, and they tried to continue to do the rescue plan, they never quite got there in time. When the diver finally managed to get down because the storms were too raging, finally, when he managed to make it down with a supply of oxygen, it was just too late. But the surprising thing was, when they managed to get the submarine back to land and they inspected the wreckage, they found that in the submarine was a canister of oxygen which had not been touched and had not been used. And it raises a question. Why did they not use the oxygen that was there? Why did they not want to use their final supplies? Had they just completely lost all hope and giving up ever being saved? And I want to say today that sometimes we can be the same. We can be going through our lives and we can be living our lives as if we don't have a living hope in Jesus Christ. But today, unlike those people in the submarine, I want us to be a people that hold on to our living hope, a life that can be established on the living Jesus, so that we may have our eternal glory in heaven and we may see him again. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Can I pray for you today? I pray and I really just ask that if you are questioning or if you don't know this living hope yet, I pray that today will be the day that you say, actually, no, I'm not going to be like those submarine men. I'm not going to lose hope. I'm not going to give up. But I'm going to hand over my life to Jesus, my living hope, both now and for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our living hope. And Lord, I just pray right now, Father, for anyone who is listening today, Lord, that are going through hard times. Or Lord, for anyone who doesn't yet know you and has not yet made a decision to follow you. Lord, I pray that they would not put their hope in earthly things. They would not put their hope in earthly inheritance. But Lord, that they would put their hope in the living Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray right now that they would confess with their mouth and they would believe in their heart that you saved, that you loved them, that you died and that you rose again. And Lord, that they will come into a living relationship with you. So Lord, we just pray, help us to be a people of hope. Help us to be hope carriers wherever we go, that we may live lives of hope wherever we are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.